Hey y'all, welcome back to a Wednesday, June 29th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast, where I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. We have a jam-packed show for you guys here on a Wednesday. We've got Jared Dickey, Tennessee volunteer, just an unbelievable season for Tennessee, dealt with injuries, and then came back at the end and just was just a really, really tough hitter to get out, and is going to be a central figure for this volunteer team next year, and we'll see after that. But Dickey is just a great, great player and a great dude, and it was just a lot of fun being able to chop it up with him here to kick things off on the Wednesday edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. He was a lot of fun, and it was great. Learned a lot, and I think you guys are going to very much enjoy our conversation. And you don't even have to be a Tennessee diehard to check out today's part one here on the Chase Thomas Podcast, because learn a lot about this team and where this Tennessee volunteer baseball team was coming from, and misconceptions about the balls and all that good stuff. And so we talked about Vitello, we talked about his season, talked about his position, where he's going to be in the order next year, things like that, all here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. So that's coming up in just 1 second. This is gonna be a three-parter today on the podcast. We got Fangraphs John Taylor also coming on, and we got some UVA talk. Yeah, we have a lot going on at UVA with Tony Elliott under with the job over at UVA. So Jerry Ratcliffe comes on, a veteran sports reporter up there in Virginia country, and great website, jerryratcliffe.com. So all that, jam-packed show. We got Jared Dickey, Jerry Ratcliffe, and John Taylor. A lot of J's on today's edition, but it was a lot of fun. Jam-packed show for you guys here on a Wednesday, Chase Thomas Podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Go check out all of our other great pods over on the Blue Wire Pod Network. We got The Long Shot with Miami Heat guard Duncan Robinson. We've got Insight with Chris Van Fleet. We've got Green Light with Chris Long. So all kinds of great programs all across the Blue Wire Pod Network. So go check those out today if you have not already done so. You can also watch this very program and check out all of our great stuff over on the YouTube page, youtube.com/Chase Thomas Podcast. Like and subscribe. Check out our video stuff on that front. Read me and all my sports writing at sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Type an email, become a subscriber today. That easy, that simple. And part one here on a Wednesday. Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back here on the Chase Thomas Podcast, taping this late on a Tuesday afternoon, and I am joined by someone who exactly zero SEC pitchers enjoy trying to get out in four pitches or less. It's Jared Dickey of the Tennessee Volunteers. Jared, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Doing well, Chase. How are you?
Not too bad. It was always like this year, obviously, did not end the way any of us had hoped, but one of those years where, I mean, I've written about this a lot, is just one of my favorite baseball seasons ever, just in general. Like, you have grown up in Atlanta, like a lot of great Brave stuff, but like Tennessee, it was so much fun, and being in the building, I tell folks around the country and things like that, it's just, you had to be there. This was a season where you just had to be there, and I think it's more about the games in February, March, April, May. I just don't look at it as one weekend in late May. That doesn't define what the year was for me, and I'm sure that's how it was for all you, right? Where you just look at, you're like, man, this body of work and just how much fun this season was as a whole. Is that kind of where y'all were after the loss against Notre Dame?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, like, we had a great year and wanted things to go a different way though towards the end. But I mean, you got to think, like, we did some pretty remarkable things this year. I mean, it's pretty tough to win 9 SEC series and win the SEC tournament. I mean, like I said, the SEC. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the best league in the country. So I mean, yeah, after the season, we pretty much just looked at everything that we did and accomplished, and we did a lot of good things for baseball this year. I mean, obviously some people don't like us just because, like, the way we play the game, but we're always going to play the game hard, and I feel like the things that we did this year are going to build the program.
Do you think that was overblown when y'all talked to other teams, and was it more because there was just so much noise from other folks, and like a lot of it's on Twitter, so you don't know how much of that's real. Did y'all actually like experience that at all? Did you actually feel like other teams and like went in, they did not like your style, or other fan bases when you traveled, that that was something that you were made aware of by the fans or by the players in the opposing side?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, we like to have fun when we play the game. We're always going to be hard-nosed. The first experience that I had with it was whenever we went to Ole Miss. You could tell the fans they did not like us. They didn't want us to be there. I mean, it was almost like it was such a hostile environment. I mean, that's kind of how Lindsey Nelson's been for the whole year. But yeah, Ole Miss was my first taste of it, and you could tell that they didn't want us there, and they did not like the way that we were playing.
Was that something you got used to? Was that something all the players were used to? That this was like, you kind of had this, because this was what I thought was interesting. It just felt like every player in and out of the lineup, and you were obviously not because of the foot fracture, but for folks that were in the lineup every day, it's kind of like they all adopted that same personality, where it's like, was it some of it where you're like, man, this is not who this guy is when he's not playing baseball? Y'all would be completely surprised, but like when he's on the diamond and when he is locked in on the game, he turns into a completely different person. Who is the biggest personification of that?
I mean, obviously, I'm gonna have to go with Drew Gobert. I mean,
okay.
I mean, great guy on the field. I mean, he does some questionable stuff sometimes. I mean, he's a maniac. He plays the game the right way, but he plays like extremely hard, and he gets into it. Off the field, I mean, literally the best guy I know. Super sweet. I mean, I hope he doesn't mind me saying that.
Yeah.
Sweet, but I mean, he'll do anything for his teammates. And off the field, like I said, just an extremely great guy, and we'll be there for you through anything.
Was that kind of like your veteran presence that you had, that you and Drew got pretty close over the year, or was it somebody else that you've really who's kind of taken you under their wing as you've gotten started here?
Yeah, so my freshman year didn't play, redshirted. Mm-hmm. And obviously last year Ben redshirted too, Ben Joyce. Mm-hmm. So we got really close, and he kind of took me under his wing as I was going through a lot of stuff last year, a lot of mental health stuff. And he pretty much pushed me to my limit every single day. And I really credit him for a lot. But this year I'd say Evan Russell got me a lot better. Took me under his wing, going to the catching stuff. We were kind of doing the same thing, left field and catcher, obviously. So, yeah, I'd say this year, Evan definitely helped me the most.
What are the Vols going to miss most about Evan Russell? Like, he is someone, because everyone looks at, you know, Drew Gilbert and Trey Lipscomb and Jordan Beck and Blade, and it's just a lot of talent, a lot of first and second round talent going out the door next year. But Russell, just doing whatever is asked. Like, he's just like, I'll just play catcher my last year here. I'll move. And I mean, it's for folks that just did not keep up with this team every year. Like, they didn't see him evolve and become such an important player. And then, I mean, just the reception when he came back and everything that he was dealing with and the nonsense that he also was dealing with on other broadcasts. I mean, I think that dude is just a warrior. And I think it's just something I'm curious about with you. How much of a loss is it going to be with Gil or with Russell going into next year? It's just like that kind of void of just the kind of do it all, do whatever it takes for the team kind of guy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, we know he would put his life on the line for the Vols. We saw that, him transitioning to catcher. But I think the thing that we're going to miss the most about him is just his locker room presence. I mean, one of the greatest teammates that I've ever had. Literally put his life on the line for all. I mean, he would always be there for us, supporting us through whatever we were going through. And there towards the end, like you said, he was going through some stuff, a little anxiety. I mean, and that's normal for us. I mean, we're baseball players. We have so much pressure put on us every day. But yeah, I'd say just the locker room presence from him. He's a hilarious guy, one of the best guys I've ever known. So yeah,
there you go. What do you know about Zach Joyce so far? Are you excited?
Oh yeah, I'm pumped up for him. Caught his bullpen yesterday, and he looked extremely well. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I mean, like I said, I'm best friends with his brother. Getting to know Zach really, really well. So yeah, I'm excited for that.
Did you have an inkling where you were like, Ben was telling you, he was like, I think he might come back. I think he might just replace me. We got to have a Joyce in the Vol, in the Vol department. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to give you my twin brother. Like, it's fine. I got to go on to Major League Baseball, but I got you.
Yeah. So, pretty much when I knew was right before the Vanderbilt series. I knew that he was thinking about coming back. So I had it in the back of my head pretty much the whole year. I was like, I mean, that pumps me up because I knew he was working out pretty hard, and I knew he was getting back into throwing, and just seeing where he's transitioned to so far, it's exciting to see.
What's your summer like? Do you take a break? Like, what, because of just how long of a grind this season was and just what y'all went through and just an unbelievable run that you went on. Do you take some time to kind of like reflect? Is there like a period where you're like, all right, like Vitello's telling you guys, hey, don't think about baseball for a while. Go out, go to Loudon, go fishing, go do something else, but just keep your mind off baseball? Or were you like right back in the cage and you were right back at it trying to figure stuff out for next year?
Yeah. So, I mean, what most of our guys did is take a week off from baseball completely and kind of just like reflect on the season, everything that you want to get better on. And then, most of our team is playing summer ball right now. But like with my foot injury, I just wanted to get it better, feeling pretty good with that. So, after about that week, I mean, I got in the weight room pretty hard. Been doing that, and then I've been working on a lot of catching stuff, and actually just picked up a bat for the first time yesterday. So just wanted to take a little bit of break and just get my body right. So I feel like that's what's best for a lot of us, at least.
Do you have a summer routine? Do you have something that you like to do to get right for the upcoming year?
I mean, not necessarily. Last summer, I played summer ball in North Carolina, and we were pretty much grinding every day through that. With this summer, I'm probably just gonna like. My daily routine is I wake up around 8, take a shower, head to the field, usually with Zach and Ben, and then we'll have a few other guys there too. And we get all of our work done, head up to the football indoor, do the hot and cold tubs, eat Smokies. I mean, Smokies is good for us because we get a free meal. and then we'll pretty much just hang out and do whatever we want to after that. So
there you go. What was it like with Ben when he's throwing 105? Do you remember what did you say something to him after? What was he like after throwing 105? When did he know immediately? Was it something that he had to be told what it hit? Like, how did that go with him?
Yeah, so it's actually a funny story. He texted me the night before, and he was like, "My arm feels insanely good. If I get on the mound tomorrow, I promise you, I'm going to hit 105." And I was like, okay, like I know you can do it. And sure enough, he went out there the next day, and I remember watching the pitch. I mean, it was an outside fastball that he threw, and I was like, wow, that was really hard. And obviously at that time I was hurt, so I mean, I was pretty much moving around the dugout, going in and out of the video room. So I went in, and Coach McCann was like, yeah, that was 105.5 miles per hour. So I mean, that's 0.2 off from the record that Aroldis Chapman has. So I went back out there and I was like, hey, maybe if you could throw one just a little bit harder. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you just hit 105.5. And he was like, dang. So, but he didn't really think about it too much. I mean, his mind is always focused on the task at hand. So
there you go. I like it. I'm curious, as someone, like, one of the best things about you at the plate is just that you, like I alluded to this at the beginning here, is that you're just a pain to get out. Like, you, it's 7 pitches. Even when you came back late in this year, it was just something where it was like, you're going to work. Like, a lot of our guys attack, and they're looking, like, if you throw a four-seamer above and over the plate, like, they're not going to sit on it on an 0-0 count. Like, they're going to drive it. You're just like, all right, let's see if we can get to 8 or 9 pitches. Let's see. I'm going to make you work. Like, did it help for you to kind of be away from the plate for a couple months and to watch how everybody else was hitting and kind of watch what other people were throwing? Do you feel like you're a better hitter now because you were able to actually get that time during the year to kind of examine what other people were doing and kind of what you could do better? Did the injury kind of help in that regard?
I mean, I'd say in some regard, yes. I mean, really, like, two of the main guys that I watched were Jordan and Drew. And obviously Trey, like, extremely good plate discipline as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like watching Jordan a lot just because he's simply, like, his eye is so good. And he usually takes, really fluid swings. And I watch him in the cage, and he has, like, a great routine. So, I mean, pretty much what I learned from the injury is just, like, adapting a routine that I can get in every single day and know that I'm comfortable at the plate. But I mean, really, like, the biggest thing with the foot injury is, like, I learned that, like, I had to be a little more patient at the plate at times, like you said, working deep into counts. So I'd say that was the biggest part.
Did you trust your foot when you came back in? I'm always curious because, I mean, I've messed up my foot and like just a runner. And look, I think it's the exact same thing when you're a big time professional baseball player and you're just a runner around University of Tennessee campus as a grad student. I think it's basically the same thing. But was it something where you had to kind of get over it mentally of just like, I got to trust my foot at some point, like it's going to be healed. And like, if they think I'm okay to play, then I'm okay to play. Was there something in the back of your mind where you're like, all right, foot, don't fail me. I need you right now.
Yeah. So, my first at bat back whenever we were in the SEC tournament, I was actually extremely sick. We don't know what I had, but I had a temperature that morning, got it down, went to the game, just wasn't feeling that great. And then Woody, our trainer, told me, he was like, yeah, you've got a pretty good chance to pinch hit tonight. I was like, oh, shoot. And I picked up my bat that day, and it felt 100 pounds. So, I mean, pretty much battling all that. And then at the same time, I was like, shoot, I don't know how my foot's going to hold up. Mm-hmm. So whenever I hit that ball, Coach V told me, he was just like, take your time to first base. Like don't do anything crazy. So I jogged pretty gingerly to first base that day. But, I mean, the next week came around, and I was like, you know, this is all a mental thing. Like, I'm good to play. They cleared me for a reason. So, I mean, once I got past that mental part of it, then it was pretty much smooth sailing from there.
Was it exciting the last weekend against Notre Dame where you're just like, okay, I can do this now. And this is, did you feel 100% by that point?
I wouldn't say 100% for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially like with the season, it takes a toll on your body. I'd say nobody's ever feeling 100%, but I mean, at that time, I probably felt about 90-95%. I was extremely confident in my ability to play the outfield, DH, run the bases. I mean, pretty much whatever I needed to do.
How did you change your approach to the plate after the injury? Did you change anything with the foot when you came back? When you were pinch hitting, did you change your approach at all?
Oh, no. never changed my approach once. I mean, it's always what I think when I go up to the plate is always work through the middle. Just because I've had a lot of success doing that. I mean, I think 75% of my pinch hit at bats were probably base hits up the middle. So
I like it. What do you think analysts, opposing fans, opposing players misunderstand most as someone on the inside of this Tennessee team all year long? What do they misunderstand most about you guys?
I mean, obviously a lot of people look at us as the villains of college baseball, but inside that locker room, I mean, it's a group of close-knit guys that always have each other's backs. Obviously as baseball players, like we go through a lot of stuff, we go through a lot of stress. So just like knowing that, like the whole team is always going to be there for you and, off the field too. Like even like in home life stuff, like, I mean, obviously that stuff, just knowing that the guys are going to have your backs. I feel like that's what's most understood.
What have you learned most about Tony Vitello since you've joined the program?
Man, I would put my life on the line for that guy. He's such a player's coach. He wants us to do what we want, but he's always going to be there for us, like off the field, like I said. I mean, I could go up to him and have a conversation with him about pretty much anything that I wanted to. So, I mean, I'm so thankful for him and everything that he's done for me and the program.
Who on the program, they're going to like this when they hear this, who had the most underrated season, do you think? Who do you think got the most underrated of anyone on Tennessee's team this year?
Ooh, wow. I mean, I got to go with Seth Stevenson.
Okay.
I mean, dude was like sneaky one of our best players. And I mean, you have the big name guys like, I mean, Jordan and Drew. I mean, they obviously had amazing seasons, but Seth was right up there with a lot of them. I mean, a lot of stolen bases, a lot of base hits. I mean, I think he hit above 350 or somewhere like right at it. So I'm going to go with him.
I like it. When it comes to your position next year, like you said, you're doing some work at catcher. Like, do you already have an idea of where you're going to be? Because you can play a lot of different positions. Like, where is it going to be an Evan Russell situation for Jared Dickey over the years in Knoxville, where you bounce around a little bit? What do you think right now?
Yeah, I think I'll probably spend most of my time in the outfield if I had to guess. But I mean, like midweek games, possibly a few like Sunday games to begin the year. But I mean, we'll just see where it goes from there.
Do you have a favorite position? Like, is there one that you'd be most comfortable in?
To be honest with you, I've kind of fallen in love with catching again.
Really?
I used to do it when I was younger, and it was always something that I really wanted to do. Then I had a knee injury, so I kind of got away from it. But yeah, I'm starting to fall in love with that position again. But I know that I can always go to left field or right field and just be just as comfortable and like it just as much.
when a pitcher pulls out his lineup card and he's looking at the scouting report for you and you're coming up to bat, what do you think he's most pissed off about having to face you? What do you think he's looking at where he's like, oh, God, this is what I'm dealing with? What do you think it is? What do you think he's most annoyed about?
I mean, that's actually such a tough question. But, I mean, I just try to get deep into counts. And whenever he makes a mistake, I'm just going to try and hammer it. I mean, I spoil a lot of pitches. Like,
yeah.
And, I mean, a changeup. To a lefty from a righty is like always the hardest pitch in my opinion to hit. So anytime you can just like flick it foul down the left field line or something, then and you can see it in a pitcher's face that it irks them.
Why do you think that is?
Why do you think it's the hardest pitch to hit?
Yeah.
I mean, just like the movement going away from us, and it comes out looking, it looks like a fastball for most of the way there. I think the best changeup that I saw this year was from I can't remember his first name, but it was Hall from North Carolina or South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he carved me up on it. I won't lie. I remember that was my first strikeout in the SEC. I was like, wow, like that's a good pitch. I remember whenever we were facing Notre Dame and Bertrand was on the mound, lefty and lefty. I mean, they're going to try to hammer you with sliders. And whenever I was spoiling some of the pitches, I could see in his face that he was aggravated. And then he tried to come at me. He tried to come at me with another slider, and I just hit it back up the middle.
Where do you think you're going to bat in the order next year?
That's a great question. And to be honest with you, I have no idea. We're going to have a lot of guys coming in, obviously. I mean, we have Maui coming in from Kansas, and I think we're going to get a few other guys. So it's definitely going to be another really deep team, and I think we have a great chance to go far next year. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure where I'll be in the lineup, but let's just keep on working to get at the top.
I was going to say, my guess is someone with a high OBP and with your play disc, but I don't know. I'm going to guess you're somewhere in the top end. Have you seen Maui at all? Have you seen him do some stuff since transferring over?
No. So he's actually in the Cape right now.
Okay.
He's on the summer league circuit, and I think he's playing pretty well, so I'm excited to get him here.
There you go. What can the good folks check out from you and the team this summer? How do they support Tennessee baseball during the off season?
I mean, I think we're going to have a few more events. I don't know if you saw the one that we had Alumni Hall in Knoxville. I think we're going to have another one in Murfreesboro if a few of the fans want to come out. Holding a few camps here. We'll pretty much be here the whole summer and just come by, support us, say what's up. And then obviously fill the stadium whenever February comes around.
I have one final question for you. What do you think the biggest difference about Jared Dickey, the baseball player, will be next year for Tennessee? What would you guess is the biggest change in your game?
I mean, I'd say the one thing that I'm going to work on the most this summer is obviously my mental game. Just mentally staying strong and staying neutral pretty much the whole time. I don't know how many books you read, but I've read a few by Trevor Moad.
Okay.
And just stuff like that. He's really good with that. So staying neutral and never showing too much emotion and just never getting down on myself.
There you go. Well, congratulations on a great year. I'm glad the foot and everything is moving in the right direction, man. I'm excited to see you play for however long it is, much longer on Rocky Top, but it was a lot of fun this year, and I appreciate you making the time, Jared. This was a lot of fun, and good luck this summer. Stay healthy, and I'm excited for next year.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for part one here on a Wednesday on the Chase the Most podcast. Don't forget, we got two more parts coming up here on the Wednesday edition of the Chase the Most podcast presented by the Blue Wire Pod Network. So stick around and make sure you check out all the different content all across the Chase the Most podcast today here on this feed, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Make sure you're subscribed to your preferred podcast player and get access to all of my podcasts throughout the week. All kinds of great content that's coming up. So look out for that. Don't forget, though, if you are an Apple Podcast or Spotify listener, make sure that you take a second and you leave this show a 5-star rating and a review on either of those apps. It helps other people find the show, and it helps this show continue to grow. And also, email the program if you would like to be a part of the mailbag or any questions for me, chasemostpodcast@gmail.com. Tweet at me at @chase_Thomas and like the Facebook page at facebook.com/chasethomaswriter. All right, Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.